Hey everyone, my name is Jared Golub, and welcome to episode 13 of the Washington Bullpen. Sadly, this is our last episode of the semester, but it's a packed one. Up first, Michael Cohen was sentenced on Wednesday. After that, I'll be talking about the clash between President Trump and Democratic lawmakers over border wall funding. We'll talk about the Senate voting to demand an end to support for the war in Yemen. And to wrap things up at the end, Time Magazine released their 2018 Person of the Year. But this year, there's a bit of a twist, so stay tuned for that. Up first, the former Trump lawmaker Michael Cohen will serve 3 years for crimes committed in New York and 2 months for lying to Congress. He pleaded guilty to financial crimes, campaign finance violations, as well as lying to Congress, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. Included in some of this were acts that implicated the president of the United States, Donald Trump. According to Cohen, he felt that it was his duty to cover up the president's dirty deeds. Now, the president has not denied instructing Cohen to make hush money payments to the women who accused him of having an affair, but he did say that he never told Cohen to do anything illegal. Cohen did not stay silent after this. He went on George Stephanopoulos' show on Thursday and was interviewed on ABC.
First of all, it's absolutely not true. I did not do it to embarrass the president. He knows the truth. I know the truth. Many people know the truth. Under no circumstances do I want to embarrass the president of the United States of America. The truth is, I told the truth. I took responsibility for my actions. And instead of him taking responsibility for his actions, what does he do? He attacks my family. And after yesterday, again, being before the court and taking the responsibility and receiving a sentence of 36 months, the only thing he can do is to tweet about my family.
This is the first prison term in any of the cases from the Mueller investigation. So all of this means is that Mueller's team is one step closer to determining the actual extent of President Trump's role in all of this business with Russia that happened during the election. Up next on the Washington Bullpen, the government is facing a shutdown deadline of December 21st, and President Trump has said that he is willing to let the government shut down if he doesn't get the $5 billion in funding for his border wall that he has requested. Democrats have offered to continue at current levels and have actually approved a $1.6 billion allocation for border fencing and tech, but not the wall like the president asked for. On Tuesday, President Trump met with Nancy Pelosi and current minority leader Chuck Schumer in the Oval Office. And that meeting was actually televised, so you can hear some of the audio from that. And you'll be able to see that the president really never lets up on his request for funding and doesn't really pay any mind to Schumer or Pelosi's counterproposals.
It doesn't help for me to take a vote in the House where I will win easily with the Republicans.
You will not win.
It doesn't help to take that vote because I'm not going to get the vote of the Senate. I need 10 senators. That's the problem.
Mr. President, you have the White House, you have the Senate.
I have the White House. The White House is done. And the House would give me the vote if I wanted it. But I can't because I need, Nancy, I need 10 votes from Chuck.
All right, let me say something here.
Let me just say one thing. The fact is, you do not have the votes in the House.
Nancy, I do. And we need border security. Nancy, we need border security. It's very simple.
Of course we do.
We need border security. People are pouring into our country, including terrorists. We have terrorists. We caught 10 terrorists over the last very short period of time. 10. These are very serious people. Our border agents, all of our law enforcement has been incredible what they've done. But we caught 10 terrorists. These are people that were looking to do harm.
We have a proposal that Democrats and Republicans will support to do a CR that will not shut down the government. We urge you to take it.
And if it's not good border security, I won't take it.
It is very good border security.
And if it's not good border security, I won't take it.
We're coming in good faith to negotiate with you about how we can keep the government
open.
We're going to keep it open if we have border security. If we don't have border security, Chuck, we're not going to keep it open.
I'm with you. We are going to have border security.
And it's the same border. You're bragging about what has been done.
By us.
We want to do the same thing we did last year, this year. That's our proposal. If it's good then, it's good now, and it won't shut down the government.
Chuck, we can build a much bigger section with more money.
Let's debate in private.
You know what?
On Thursday, the president tweeted saying again that Mexico would pay for the border wall under his new NAFTA agreement. However, his claims that Mexico will pay for the wall go against everything that he keeps requesting from Congress. He's requested taxpayer funding and now the $5 billion for border security, which is really just building the wall. And on top of that, the NAFTA agreement still needs to be approved by Congress before it can do anything official. And that is lacking support from Pelosi herself. So there's no saying whether that will even pass before amendments are made to it. Plus, if Trump actually does shut the government down by the 21st, he'd be shutting down the Department of Homeland Security, which handles border security to begin with. So a government shutdown really goes against everything that the president is trying to accomplish. In other congressional news, the Senate voted to demand an end to support for the war in Yemen. A joint resolution from Bernie Sanders, the independent from Vermont, Chris Murphy, the Democrat from Connecticut, and Mike Lee, a Republican from Utah, and it calls for Donald Trump to stop U.S. armed forces from supporting Saudi Arabia against the Iran-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen. Now, this vote comes in the middle of a lot of controversy surrounding Saudi Arabia. The Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, was accused of the assassination of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi. Now, this resolution does have to pass through the House before it can be signed by the president. However, debates on Yemen have been blocked by Republicans through the end of the year, so this will have to wait until the new year before the U.S. can officially pull themselves out of the war in Yemen. Speaking of Jamal Khashoggi, he was one of Time Magazine's 2018 People of the Year. This year, Time Magazine chose to recognize four journalists and a newspaper who they are calling The Guardians. The first, Jamal Khashoggi, is a Washington Post columnist who was assassinated in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. The second is Philippines journalist Maria Reza. The former CNN correspondent co-founded Rappler and has used it to truthfully cover the Philippine government of President Rodrigo Duterte. She currently faces up to 10 years in prison on tax evasion charges thrown at her by the Philippines government. Up next, the Reuters reporters Walon and Kyaso U were framed and jailed in Myanmar for the last year after they uncovered forensic details convicting members of the military of murdering 10 Muslim men. They are currently serving a 7-year sentence for violating the Official Secrets Act. And lastly, Time Magazine recognizes the staff of the Capital Gazette in Annapolis, Maryland. Five of their colleagues were killed in a shooting in June, and they published a newspaper the very next day. Capital Gazette reporter Chase Cook tweeted that day, "I can tell you this, we are putting out a damn paper tomorrow." This is the first time since Time Magazine began this tradition that it has featured a journalist on the cover, or someone after they have died. And I think that the words that Time journalist Carl Vick wrote when they announced it say a little bit more about this. Vick wrote, "This ought to be a time when democracy leaps forward, an informed citizenry being essential to the government. Instead, it's in retreat. 3 decades after the Cold War defeat of a blunt and crude autocracy, a more clever brand takes nourishment from the murk that surrounds us. The old-school despot embraced censorship. The modern despot, finding that more difficult, foments mistrust of credible fact, thrives on the confusion loosed by social media, and fashions the illusion of legitimacy from supplicants. The story of this assault on truth is somewhat paradoxically one of the hardest to tell." We all learned in our schools that journalists shouldn't be the story ourselves. But this is, again, not our choice. This is the world of the strong leaders who hate the free press and truth, says Kandundar. Vic's words highlight the importance of journalism in a time when the free press is being attacked. We are here to show you that we are not the enemy of the people, but the voice of the people. Unfortunately, that is all of our time for episode 13 of The Washington Bullpen. I've really enjoyed making the podcast for you this semester. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it. As usual, our music is brought to you by Brenna Carroll. My name is Jared Golub. Thanks for listening.